KCRW sponsors include Make It Universal and Rotten Tomatoes, presenting Scene on Screen with Jacqueline Coley, a brand new podcast about the people at NBC Universal and the movies that define them. Available wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
From KCRW in Santa Monica, this is The Treatment.
Welcome to The Treatment. I'm Elvis Mitchell. You can also hear this show at KCRW.com. Now, of course, Lawrence Fishburne has legions of fans. I'm sure many of them know him from being the star of the most popular show on the planet, CSI. He's also an Emmy winner for his other TV work. And, of course, they may know him as well from his work in the films. He, in addition to many other things, starred in the three Matrix movies with Keanu Reeves, but not nearly enough people know him as one of the finest stage actors of his generation. He is a Tony winner for his work in the August Wilson play Two Trains Running. In 2009, he starred in the one-man show on Broadway, about Thurgood Marshall. He is here to talk about that show, which is now running on HBO. Mr. Fishburne, welcome back to the
show.
Thank
you, Mr. Mitchell. How you doing?
I am well. I'm thrilled to have you back here.
Yeah, it's nice to be here, man.
You know, one of the things that I always wanted to know was what made you decide to do that show at that point in your life, playing Thurgood Marshall?
There was no way that I could actually turn it down once I read the material. I actually read the material in 2006.
Okay.
And I learned so much about what Thurgood Marshall had done. Prior to that point, prior to reading the script, all I knew was that he was the first African-American to be appointed as a Supreme Court justice. I had no idea, for example, that he was the lead lawyer in Brown versus the Board of Education. I had no idea that he went to Howard University. I had no idea that he went to Lincoln University, the same school that my mentor, Roscoe Lee Brown, went. And there's a host of other things. There's a litany of things that is really kind of revealed in the show.
But just the idea of that point in your life doing a one-man show.
Oh, I see that. I hadn't really thought about that. I mean, it wasn't, I didn't really stop to think, oh, God, it's just going to be me up there and nobody else. I never really, I didn't think about that until it was too late. I had already said yes.
Well, the thing I wonder about that, because, I mean, obviously the life of Thurgood is such a rich and interesting life, but the idea of doing it in a one-man show, and you really basically, you're creating a momentum on your own, mm-hmm. on the stage. Mm-hmm. And you're taking those words and making them play at various speeds and mm-hmm. building climaxes into each piece. Mm-hmm. And that seemed like a pretty daunting thing to do at that point where you could have done about anything you wanted to do.
But, I read it and I was just blown away by his accomplishments and his achievements and his contribution to American life. So I said yes. Somewhere between the first day of rehearsal and the first preview, I had the moment where I was like, this is entirely too much. I can't possibly do this. Forget it. I'm done. But that only lasted for about 10 seconds.
I got to think one of the things that you like so much about this, about starring in Thurgood, is that your real gift is playing characters who love to express themselves, who take no small delight in playing with words.
Interesting. He was certainly a brilliant raconteur and storyteller, griot-like, in fact, you know, very much in the African tradition of the griot.
Sure.
I was with a Supreme Court justice in D.C. for a few moments who said that he worked with Thurgood for 15 years. He never heard him tell the same story twice.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
Well, the person who's not telling the same story twice here is Lawrence Fishburne. It's The Treatment. He's starring in, of course, CSI on CBS, and the one-man show Thurgood is also on HBO this month. Well, if you can't explain for the audience what the evening and the show Thurgood is, what it's like.
The show is set in a lecture at Howard University where he graduated from law school in 1933. He comes out. He's an old man. He's at the end of his life. He's resigned from the bench. And he comes to lecture the law students. So that's the setting. And his style of lecture is a history lesson, but it's a personal history lesson. So he begins with his birth, and he takes you all the way through his family history. He takes you through his educational career, his career as a college student at Lincoln University, his career as a law student at Howard University, his mentoring by a man named Charles Hamilton Houston. All through his career as the lead lawyer for, the head of the legal department at the NAACP, through being nominated to Supreme Court justice and all the way back. And so what happens is I sort of morph from going, I go from being sort of like an 83-year-old man, and then I'm like a 15-year-old kid, and then I take you all the way through the journey of his life up until he resigns, and suddenly I'm an old man again.
And it's a really kind of a wonderful emotional thing that mm-hmm. you do. And the other things, too, that I find myself thinking when I saw the show, and also when I watched the HBO version of mm-hmm. it, too, is that you also have kind of an appetite for people who live to fight.
I guess so, yeah. I guess that's just kind of what I got from my parents, what I got from my mom in particular, and her, you know, coming from the South and, you know, going to a historical black college and sort of that whole sort of civil rights thing. I mean, being born in 1961 and being aware of all of that stuff going on, that there was really this movement that was about improving the quality of life for black people on a large scale in this country, and for sort of like breaking down these barriers that sort of existed. A lot of things have changed. I mean, a lot of things have changed. A lot of things are, you know, a lot of attitudes are still the same. The great thing about people like Marshall and people like King and all these people who were fighting is, indeed, they were fighting for the rights and the quality of life of black people, but also for the rights and the quality of life for all Americans, you know? So I don't know. I mean, maybe that's just, I think I come by that quite honestly because I was born at a time when that was what was going on socially, and that I feel a certain social responsibility to continue telling those stories so that people understand and appreciate just how wonderful our country is and what the potential is for our country. Does that make any sense?
No, sure it does. But I guess what I was getting at in my question, I was just thinking about, for example, a role you played, you got an Oscar nomination for playing another fighter, Ike Turner.
Ike Turner, sure.
He was somebody who, again, could use words and was able to use those words to sort of get what he wanted,
mm-hmm.
but had to operate outside the system, but built an institution for himself. And Thurgood is somebody who had to go inside an institution but still be able to use the words to get what he wanted.
Sure.
And I just watching all these scenes to get ready for this, I start seeing really bold parallels in ways mm-hmm. I've never seen them before.
Okay.
Words were part of his arsenal.
Absolutely.
And you played him as somebody who was really incredibly confident in the way yes. he could use words to get what he wanted. And then when those words didn't work, he resorted to other means.
Yes,
but
he would
we can't
means.
Say that he was just first and foremost a physical guy.
No. He was definitely someone who had a command of language and used a particular kind of style of language with real success. I mean, he could penetrate you with his language, and he could influence you with his language. He was very charming. Very charming, Mr. Turner. I remember when I met him, I said, "Where you been, man?" He said, "Everywhere." And I asked him, he asked me, he said, what are you doing? I said, "I'm trying to be you." He said, "Well, you better do a good job."
I hope he was impressed. Was he?
I think he was. I think, yes, the word that I got was that he was very, very pleased.
Well, I'm pleased to have you here. It's The Treatment.
Thank
My guest
you.
Is Mr. Lawrence Fishburne. His show, Thurgood, the one-man show, is on HBO this month. He's also the star of CSI. But I just find that I wonder where that comes from. I mean, you talked about this kind of social context that mm-hmm. creates you, but this attraction
to words.
To words and guys who really can use them as a weapon or use them to seduce.
Mm.
I mean, that's been so much, and it's not just the way you use the voice, but
sure.
these guys all speak in very different ways. Some
in
guys
very different
use...
ways, sure.
I just think to Red Heat, where you play somebody who waits, who's withholding, and
yes.
then uses language as basically like a bat
yes.
to get the point across.
Right. I suppose there is the possibility, you know, when people ask me about, you know, who are the actors that I admired, I sort of have my four cardinal points, you know, which are Sidney Poitier, James Earl Jones, Richard Burton, and Peter O'Toole. And what's great about all of them is they all have a mastery of language, particularly the Brits with O'Toole and Burton. They really, really sort of just relish language, the English language in particular, and use it beautifully. And so does James. I mean, James has this sound, you know. He has a sound that's really incredible. And then Poitier as a tenor also has a beautiful sound. So you've got these guys are sort of the guys that I sort of took a little bit from each of them.
Mm-hmm.
But what they all have in common is there is a musicality, a lyricism, there is a rhythm and a meter to their language and their use of it. I think that may be some of what it is that because I'm a frustrated musician, I use my voice and I use the vocal instrument with a great breadth and depth of range.
But when you mention those guys, you mention those Brits particularly,
mm-hmm.
O'Toole and Burton, these are guys who could find comedy in expressing anger.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Which is something I see a lot of in Thurgood.
Oh, sure. It's also in King of New York.
Oh, very much
so. It's also in What's Love Got to Do With It.
It's not all those places, but just using that as an example. I mean, I just found myself thinking, as you were talking about that mm-hmm. way that, you know, there's this flood of words that's both about anger, but they can get these comic shadings out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a way Thurgood is getting that pleasure out of telling those stories, Thurgood Marshall,
sure.
and replaying those parts.
Sure. I mean, it's, you know, you watch Richard Pryor do it throughout his career, you know, really taking the pain and the despair and the feelings of, you know, shame or whatever that were a part of his life experience and making brilliant comedy out of it. I mean, this is a man who grew up in a bordello.
Sure.
I mean, as a boy, I mean, what more shameful environment can you possibly grow up in? And to take that and make great art out of it is, you know, that's an achievement.
Because part of what I see in Thurgood, and especially just watching this TV version of it,
mm-hmm.
is the amount of pleasure you take and the pleasure that he takes.
Yes. Yeah. It's great because there's no separation between myself and the audience. In other words, what the director, Leonard Folia, who is really wonderful and who was really very instrumental in helping me create those patterns and create that energy and that vitality where it's this momentum, he was really, really smart about how he showed me a way in which to do that with each sort of new chapter of Thurgood's life that we move into.
Yeah, I guess that is because part of the two is that there's a theatrical aspect in that he's speaking to put the fire under these legal students.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you've got to be aware of that as an actor, too. So you're basically playing somebody who's, to some extent, acting
sure.
before a group of people.
Sure.
And how do you... Because it's fascinating you do that without putting quotation marks around it.
Right. Well, that is down to, I think, the writing, our director, and my own, you know, skill in terms of delivering something. The three of us together worked on the script and making it personal. The whole thing is because it's personal, people can relate to it. Because it comes from his heart, people... It's not a history lesson. Thurgood Marshall is like your favorite old uncle who likes his little whiskey and you're on the back porch with him and he starts regaling you with the stories of his life. And inside the stories of his life are all of these wonderful life lessons. And all of these things that we can take, not just as African Americans, but as Americans to sustain us, to make this great experiment, this democracy experiment thing, to try to make it better.
It's a great place to take a break. We'll be right back. My guest is Lawrence Fishburne. He is the star of Thurgood, which is on HBO. He's also the star of CSI on CBS. I'm Elvis Mitchell. It's The Treatment. There's more to come.
You're listening to The Treatment with Elvis Mitchell from the studios of KCRW Santa Monica.
Welcome back. It's The Treatment, which you can also hear at kcrw.com. My guest is Emmy winner, Tony winner, Oscar nominee Lawrence Fishburne. He stars in CSI, and he's also starring in Thurgood, a recreation of the one-man show he did on Broadway, which is on HBO this month. I guess one of the things I find myself thinking about a lot with you mm-hmm. is you play so many people, I think to some extent Thurgood included, who take some delight in operating outside normal parameters.
That's always a little more fun. For a long time, I struggled with the notion that I wanted to be, as a friend of mine used to say, you know, there's a part of me that just wants to be Joe Sixpack, you know. And a friend of mine used to say to me all the time, he said, Fishburne, you are never going to be Joe Sixpack. You know, I think I've finally gotten comfortable with that. I certainly don't play Joe Normals in most of the work that I do, although I think I try to at least bring a sense of their humanity, which I consider to be just basic.
I get what you're saying, because you got to do that so that you feel like you're not condescending to these people.
Yeah.
But these almost everybody you play to some extent or another is a kind of peacock. Somebody who takes pride in his physical appearance.
Interesting.
I'm trying to think of a case where that doesn't occur, and I can't think of one.
Well, I think the guy that I played in Miss Evers Boys isn't that kind of a guy. Caleb?
Well, but I think he's sort of, well, he wants to be thought of as being clean. He wants to be respected for the way he looks, even though he's been damaged by this, the situation he's in.
I don't necessarily agree with that. I don't think that that's where he's coming from at all. I think certainly Ike is that way. I think to a certain extent that Thurgood is that way. But really, I don't think of...
And that would be a rare case of...
I don't think that guy was coming from that place. I don't think the guy in Tuskegee Airmen was coming from that place. I don't think that
really?
Socrates... No.
Oh, I think definitely that guy.
I don't think that Socrates was coming from that place either.
But Socrates is a guy, maybe he's not clean, obviously,
mm-hmm.
but he's somebody who... wants to be taken with some taken.
Well, he wants to be taken seriously, but I don't necessarily think
And there's a physical bearing in that.
There is a physical bearing in that.
I own this room, so that's maybe it's not.
But it's not conscious. I don't think it's a conscious thing. It might be a real thing. It might be a thing that's evident from the outside, but from the inside, I'm certainly not leading with that. I'm certainly that's not my intention.
Okay, here, let me be maybe a little more precise about
okay.
this. Pride is integral to all these guys that you played.
Yes.
No matter how tilted
right.
or on center or put upon.
Yes.
There is pride in all these
yes.
people.
There is a pride in all these people. There is a pride about being a black man in America in all of these characters. Absolutely. No question about it. I wouldn't approach anything without it. I couldn't.
But that pride is often a part of the way they express themselves physically.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I mean, just, again, moving away from the verbal skills that they have.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, these are guys who walk into a room and want to be seen in many cases.
Sure, sure. There is a presence that comes.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
Do you think you could not play somebody who found himself to be a little more, I guess, disinterested in that kind of thing?
Well, I don't know if I could, but I'll give you an example of somewhere where I think I've tried to go against that. And I don't know how successful I was, but it's the film of the play that I wrote, Riff Raff.
Yeah.
Once in the Life, I play this guy, 2020 Mike Leon, and Mike is not smart. Mike's a little bit of a peacock, sure, but he's not.
He's a peacock.
And wants to be respected, but he's really silly, and he's really in over his head, and he's really not bright, and he's really not powerful.
Yeah, but it's still enormously proud and wants to be paid attention when he's trying
sure.
to correct his brother who's in this enormous self-destructive cycle.
Sure.
He's basically sort of doing as much to call attention to himself
oh, absolutely.
As he's to help his brother out.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And yeah. and I just find that to be kind of a fascinating thing.
Mm, because?
Because these are all these guys in so many cases are people who... are dealing with that struggle we're talking about, you
mm-hmm.
know. They're defined by the moment that they live as African-Americans in this
mm-hmm.
country.
Mm-hmm.
And one way or another, they're trying to say, I deserve to be respected, even if in many cases they don't.
Yeah, I'm bigger than that, and then I am more than that, and then I have more to offer than that. Yeah, sure. Because I think, you know, most of us, you know, at some point in our lives, if we are black in this country, feel that way. That we have, that, you know, yeah, we are defined by... sort of our group, whatever you want to call it, our culture, whatever you want to call it. But we also have the ability to transcend that, and we also deserve to be thought of as more than just a color. Does that make sense?
Sure. Okay. Of course it does. It's The Treatment. I'm talking to a man who expands, who touches on many colors. Lawrence Fishburne. He's the star of Thurgood on HBO. He's also starring in CSI on CBS. This is The Treatment. You can also hear it at KCRW.com. I guess as I say this, I just find that that's a fascinating thing mm-hmm. because you played so many characters who exist in transitional periods in this country's history.
Ah, okay. Sure, sure.
I mean, going from the Harlem Renaissance
right.
to the Civil
Funky.
Rights Movement
right.
to even being on CSI, being Langston on CSI.
Sure.
These are all the incredible...
A transitional period
yeah.
of our history, sure.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I wonder if that's something that you find an attractive thing to act as well. I mean, I guess I find myself asking how conscious this is for you.
It's not very conscious at all, but it seems to work. It seems to be a good match. Even though I didn't want to do Ike, I felt like I was a pretty good match
what
for
do you
him.
Mean you didn't want to do
I
that?
Didn't. I turned that down. I finally said yes because they cast Angela Bassett as Tina.
But and we talk about Ike. We're talking about Thurgood Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about Bumpy and Gangster.
Mm-hmm.
You played any number of people who were based on real life figures. Real life figures.
Sure, that's those three for sure. And then the guy in the Tuskegee Airmen thing
yeah.
was based on
somebody.
He was
yeah.
based on somebody, but really he was sort of a compilation of three or four individuals.
But I guess I wonder if you see doing that to some extent as part of your mission as an actor and public figure of
yes.
color to sort of say,
absolutely.
Our stories need to be out here too.
Our stories need to be told. The story of the Tuskegee Airmen needs to be told. The story of the experiments at the Tuskegee Institute on syphilis, that needs to, people need to know about
that. Another real life figure, by the way.
Right, another real life figure. And in addition to which, you know, President Clinton came out and made a public apology about that after the movie came out. So this is a way in which we can be effective.
I'm
talking about
Miss
Evers' Boys. This is a way in which we can be effective in terms of, you know, creating change and educating people with what we do. Now, it doesn't have to always be that. You know, sometimes you make a movie like The Matrix or Fled or King of New York, and it's just about, you know, fun on the surface. You know, it's about fun, and it's about, you know, the staples of... you know, American movies, sex and violence. I mean, you know, sometimes that's just what it is. That's, you know, that's important too. But the other part is that there's an opportunity. Where I see an opportunity to tell a story about the contributions that black people have made to American culture and to world culture that's positive or real at any rate.
Sure.
Whether it's positive or negative, then why not?
Well, since we're here, and by the way, it's The Treatment, the person I'm here with is Lawrence Fishburne, who's starring in Thurgood on HBO and on CSI. You can also hear the show at KCRW.com. I find myself getting back to, finally, to CSI,
mm-hmm.
who were you playing a guy who really is kind of withholding?
Yes. Yes.
Who,
absolutely.
Who uses silence as a way to sort of wait people out, and also because of probably people have expectations about him. He's trying to thwart those by making people wait, which I find to be the most fascinating way to play somebody as a center of TV show I've
mm-hmm.
ever seen. Because generally,
oh, thanks.
It's about sort of being...
Right, active.
Yes.
Yes, yes, yeah.
And this guy's a waiter. I mean, he's
has
really waiting
be.
People out.
I've had to be. I mean, I come into a situation where there was a man that was at the center of the show who was beloved by the audience, beloved by his, you know, his ensemble. I'm talking about William Peterson and a wonderful character, Gil Grissom, the Bug Man, wonderful character. And so my first responsibility was not to upset the egg cart. My first responsibility was to come in and harmonize with everything. And the best way to do that was to be still. The star of CSI is not Ray Langston and was not Gil Grissom. The star of CSI is Discovery. It's whodunit. That's the star of the show. And that's why people are interested and that's why people come back, because they get involved in trying to solve the mystery. So the best thing for me to do was to just be still and to learn again. That's why they brought me in as a guy who wasn't a CSI, who wasn't a supervisor, who wasn't in law enforcement. He was a guy with a big mind, with a really, really, you know, great mind, a great thinker, problem solver, you know, forensic pathologist, research pathologist guy who is familiar with, you know, the ways in which disease and things kill people. So this mind is now going to be applied to solving crimes. And so the audience gets to re-experience what they experienced at the beginning of the show when the show first came on. It's almost as if, you know, Langston represents the audience in a way. He's learning what it is to be a CSI. He's learning what the process is of crime scene investigation. And the audience is relearning it again with him. And then again, you know, the technology may have improved since the show first came on.
But it's fascinating, too, because we're at a time now where there aren't a whole lot of African-American leads in drama series. And that's one of the things that made you think about taking this in the first place, because of that impact.
It never occurred to me.
No?
It didn't occur to me until after I'd gotten the job. When I got the job, I did a series of interviews with people, and I was doing some roundtable interviews, and one of the interviewers said, "So, you know, you're going to be the lead, and you're an African American male, and on a show on CBS, and you know, what do you think about that? And what's the impact of that? And why aren't there more? You know, all of these kind of questions." And I went, that's a good question. I'm not sure how to answer it, but here's what I'm going to do. Let me talk to my boss at CBS. So I asked him. I called Leslie Moonves up. I said, "So, when I get this question, Leslie, how do you want me to answer it?" And he said, "Well, you can talk about Dennis Haysbert. Dennis Haysbert's the lead on a show called The Unit." I said, "Okay, great." Unfortunately, that show got canceled. So now there's me and Forrest Whitaker, who's the lead on Criminal Minds, which is fantastic. And listen, if this is, you know, if this is part of this so-called Obama effect, which is what they were talking about when it all happened back in 2008, 2009, great. I'm all for it.
But you had been offered TV shows before.
No, I hadn't. No, I hadn't.
You had not?
No.
I'm sure part of the presumption was that people thought, well, why would he want to do a TV show?
Well, I think people did assume that, you know, that I thought of myself as a movie star and you know, that meant that I shouldn't be doing television. But I've never thought that way about television. What I've kind of held kind of close to my vest, I guess, is that if I were to get involved in a television series, that I, you know, I always kind of imagined that I would do it around the age that I am now. Which is, I'll be 50 this year. So I'm pretty much right on time with it. I thought this would be the moment in my life, you know, up here around middle age, where that would be the ideal time to get involved in a television series. Because, you know, the children are in university, and you got to pay for those things. And you've been on the road as a journeyman actor for 25, 30 years, and maybe you want to sleep in your own bed, you know. And so that's what I'm getting to do now.
Well, it's a pleasure having you back here. Thanks
so
much for coming back.
Thank you, man.
My guest is Lawrence Fishburne. He is starring in the one-man show Thurgood, which is on HBO this month. He's also the star of the biggest show in the world, CSI. Our recording engineer at NPR West is Carlos Asensio. The show is mixed by J.C. Swadek. It's edited and produced by Gemma Dempsey. I'm Elvis Mitchell. I take pride in my words, too. It's The Treatment.
An audio archive of this and other programs can be found at kcrw.com. The Treatment is produced and distributed by KCRW Santa Monica.
KCRW sponsors include Make It Universal and Rotten Tomatoes, presenting Scene on Screen with Jacqueline Coley, a brand new podcast about the people at NBC Universal and the movies that define them. Available wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.